I wouldn't call it nativist, I'd call it conservative right. The big business side, I would just call the Republican primary argument. I see the nativist group, though, as being a very small contingent, but very vocal.
They control the House Republicans, well, don't they?
No, I don't think they control the House Republicans. I don't really believe that, like you said, this is a very skewed argument. You've got the Democrats split on it, and I agree with your analysis that the Republicans are split as well, but the very vocal conservatives, you are correct. They want all the immigrants sent home, you know, guards on the border and that group. Now, the thing I find interesting about your Democratic analysis, which is also correct, is that what you have here is a Labor Party, the Democrats, protecting the labor jobs, so they think protecting the labor jobs. When in actuality, they're not protecting anybody.
Mark, I want to see what our callers think of our analysis, both of ours. Kenneth from Alexandria, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hi, thanks for having for taking my call. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you fine.
Hey, I was just wondering, Mark, as an African American, don't you think that you should be supportive of immigrants and their endeavors?
Well, Mark, do you think as an African American you should be more supportive of immigrants? Well, I mean, I'm a descendant of immigrants myself, so I don't know why it's a black-white issue, but what do you think?
I agree that it's not a black-white issue, and I think that, you know, as we go through the evening and we talk about this, the issues that would affect African Americans are really no different than the issues that would affect Americans of European descent. It's just that it's the same issue, so that's why I'm
always... But I'll give you one thing I think that does make it a racial issue a little bit. I think it's a socioeconomic issue. Those that are at the lower end of the wage scale, those that are working Americans, those that are struggling at minimum wage, I think are the ones who should be most concerned about immigrants. They're the ones who are fighting them for jobs, and African Americans, for better or for worse, I would argue for worse, tend to fall more in that scale than non-African-Americans.
I don't agree with you. I don't agree that African-Americans tend to fall more into that scale.
Well, wage of African-Americans is lower than the median wage of European-Americans.
It is, but how much lower is it? It's not statistically lower where the African-Americans, you could say, are all living at minimum wage.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying
again,
there are more of them.
Overall theme, is the glass half empty or is it half full? I say it's half full. There's plenty of opportunity in this country. Latinos, Americans, Mexicans, immigrants coming south of the border primarily, are seeking opportunity, and they're not taking jobs from anybody. Nobody. They're providing a workforce for our country that is not being met by the current demand. Now, the difference is, the difference is when you're an auto worker who really there are some special nuances with that group that if I was czar of the world, I would address, making 40, 50 bucks an hour, I don't think those immigrants are taking the auto worker job. The immigrants right now that you see lined up in Herndon, lined up in D.C., primarily of Hispanics, are filling jobs that can't be filled from the current labor base.
You know what? I disagree. Let me tell you why. People say that all the time. I think most Americans, in fact, I saw a poll recently. Most Americans think you're right, but I think most Americans are wrong.
Well, let's hear why.
Most Americans say they're taking jobs that people don't want. I don't want to be a garbage man. I don't want to work at McDonald's. But I'll tell you this. If they were paying 20 bucks an hour or 30 bucks an hour to be a garbage man, people would be lined up at the door. If they were paying 20 bucks an hour to pick apples out in the desert, whatever it is, pick oranges, people would be lined up. At a certain wage, I guarantee you, we don't need the immigrants to fill the jobs. Now, I'm not saying kick them out. I mean, that gets to the next step about what the plans are. But I think the argument that they're taking jobs we don't want, I think it's a bit of a argument. They're taking jobs at wages we don't want. It's not the jobs, it's the wages.
I agree with you. But what you just said was if the jobs were paying higher and they were taking those jobs that were paying higher, then it would be a bigger issue. I agree with you. And I don't think that all immigrants coming up in this area or anywhere in the country are all working at McDonald's and picking grapes like that.
Well, I still play soccer,
even though I'm an old guy. I still play soccer, and we've got a El Salvadorian sort of contingent. They happen to be the best players, but not because they're genetically predispositioned, but because soccer's a bigger issue.
They're culturally predispositioned.
Well, no, yeah, and it's a bigger thing in their country, obviously.
Sure.
Those guys, they come up here, all the guys are legal, and they're doing jobs that most of us don't want to do, and they're making $80,000, $70,000, over $100,000 a year putting roofs. Now, again, I don't want to describe a whole group as being construction workers. I'm just speaking to the guys that I know. And I'm saying they're filling an economic gap. That's what I love about our country. We have an extremely efficient economy. It's not perfect, But it's a better economy than any other.
Let me get to the bottom line here, all right? You got the House Republicans, and they want the punitive, I would argue, solution. You may disagree with my pejorative term, but their solution basically is deport as many as you can, throw them in jail, punish
them. That's not happening.
Spend billions, spend as much. There's a bill in the House to do just
that,
passed by the House Judiciary Committee.
Sure,
that's
sure.
The House Republicans. The president's plan, which he insists is not amnesty, it is to allow them to be guest workers.
Sure.
Really what they tried in Europe, in France and Germany, where you have this permanent cast of, they're legally here, but they can never become citizens because it's not amnesty, and they live in these sort of substandard, weird existence. I would argue it hasn't worked. That's what they tried in Europe, and you have Muslim uprisings in France and Germany.
Yeah,
then you have the Kennedy-McCain bill, which is increasingly bipartisan support, mostly Democratic support. John McCain's on it, and Hagel. A few Republicans are coming on board in the Senate. And that is a bill to allow, over time, 4 or 5 years, those immigrants that have worked hard, haven't gotten in trouble. The only thing they've done illegally is break the law by coming in here, but otherwise, you know, they haven't done any violent crimes or anything, to allow them to eventually become citizens. And all parties agree with greater border security. I mean, that's the standard. Which of these three solutions do you like, or do you like a fourth one that you would?
No, first of all, this is just like running a business. There are a lot of mechanical issues that need to be reasonably worked out. For example, I think the biggest issues are the social service stresses that a lot of these immigrants are putting on the border states when they come in. So again, the border states are saying, we're not getting federal funding for these people that you're allowing to come in.
So what's your answer, Czar of the World?
Well, my answer is, Czar of the World is more along the lines, frankly, of the McCain-Kennedy bill, more along those lines. But understanding that as a business person, I know that there are a lot of things that need to be tweaked. And that's really sort of an amnesty kind of measure as well.
So you disagree with the president, who basically never wants to allow them to become citizens. I mean, says they have to go back to their home country and wait.
No, I think the president is presenting a basic outline to his constituency that will allow a better proposal to be developed. Again,
he did that with Social Security. He's like, we need to fix Social Security. I'm not going to tell you how. You know,
he came up with some great solutions on Social Security, individual retirement accounts, all kind of neat little things. But what he's trying to do is lay out a platform. Now, there's no question when you say, I'm going to put the National Guard on the border. I mean, he's placating a lot of the conservative right, which is a major.
And you know, they can't even do anything on the border. It's interesting. The National Guard, because of the law, the way it's set up, because they're not border police, they can't carry firearms.
They have big problems in putting them on the border.
It's clearly entirely symbolic.
Well, it's been a problem. I'll be a critic of this administration. It's been a problem with the way they express their desire to remedy these big problems.
It's symbol. It's all about real solutions.
And at one point in time, you talk about sort of tactics of it. And the other part, what's pragmatic. And I think the Kennedy-McCain bill is a bit more pragmatic. But you brought up an interesting point. You've got all these divergent groups that are all like labor. Your labor Democratic group is in the bed with big labor, and they're trying to figure out what they're going to do in the country. You got the auto union problem now with the Delphi going under. Got some big issues and some elections coming up and money going into people's campaigns. So they're all trying to jockey for who's going to get what money and what makes sense.
Let me give my solution as Czar of the World. All
okay.
right. I actually agree with you that of the three plans put out there, the House Republican punitive plan, the president guest worker permanent second-class citizen plan, and the Kennedy and McCain, let them pay a fine. Those that haven't done anything wrong, those that are violent, should deport them. But those that have committed no crime but being here illegally, after 4 or 5 years of paying taxes and so forth, allow them to become citizens. I also support the Kennedy and McCain plan, so we agree on that. But I think there needs to be a plus. I think we need to punish businesses harshly hire illegal immigrants.
Let me make my point, and then I promise I'll give you a chance to respond.
All right. In my view, that the reason people are coming here is because they're getting cheap jobs. That's the reason they are here.
What do you mean cheap jobs?
They're getting jobs that are better than in Mexico.
Okay.
Right? Better for them, but undercutting American labor. And it seems to me that no matter how many fences you build, as long as you have that huge demand there, people are going to keep coming. So here's my solution. I'll give you a whole break to think about it, and then you can come out firing when you come back.
Okay.
My solution is, in addition to Kennedy and McCain, which I support, there's some details, but I largely support harsh punishments for business that hire illegal aliens. What I would do is you put everyone who's legally here in a database, and people come in, and if their number doesn't match that database, and you hire them anyway, the Fed should go, should prosecute you, steep fines. I'm talking 3-4 times the wages, enough fines that you think twice before you hire an illegal immigrant, and then even if you do it intentionally enough times, criminal sanctions. I think if you punish businesses enough, the demand stops, and then those people who are here already, we have a Katie McCain-like plan, they're okay, but we stop getting them coming into the borders. I want to hear what you think, Mark. I want to hear what you think, listeners. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back with your thoughts and Mark's thoughts right after this.
This is Mommy's bed. Me and Jenny were jumping on it. Mommy's gun fell on the floor. I was a cowboy. Bang, 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 bang. I said, Jenny, wake up, wake up. It's just pretend. But she wouldn't wake up.
If you give me a fish...
If you give someone a fish...
You feed them for a day.
Teach someone to fish.
You feed them for a lifetime.
Give me a fish, and you'll feed me for a day. Teach me to fish, and you'll feed me for a lifetime.
Through Volunteers of America, you can help change lives in your community.
Oh, hey, mister. Studied algebra in school and got a better job than I could. You take the last cut.
Oh, no, mister. Stuck in an entry-level job because you only learned basic math. I don't have a boss riding my butt like you do, so you take it so you can get back to your desk.
You know, I probably should, but maybe Miss AP Calculus with the $200 haircut in the big office upstairs would like a cup.
Oh, no, mister. What was your name again? Never mind, it doesn't matter. I'm too busy doing important things to care. I just came down for some sweet nectar.
You know, if my limited math abilities weren't keeping me from getting a better job, I'd quit this afternoon.
I don't blame you. But thank goodness you're stuck here because we really need someone to make the coffee.
Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to Debate Monday here on the Inside Scoop, discussing the issues of the week. All topics are valid. Anything you want to talk about, give us a call, 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. The big issue this week was immigration, but we're going to talk about a lot of other things as well. What happened in Fairfax, Iraq, whatever. Give us a call. My guest is the president of NVA Multifamily Partners, a self-described conservative commentator. His name is Mark Head, and he's a good guy, even if he and I disagree on a lot of things. Now, before the break, I gave my solution to the immigration problem. It's the Kennedy-McCain bill, which allows amnesty over a period of time, about 4 or 5 years, to those who haven't broken any law other than coming here illegally. They pay a fine, but then they're allowed to come here. Mark largely supported that bill as well, but I add a plus. I add punishing businesses harshly to hire illegal immigrants, and that way I think we can really cut down on the problem. Mark, you disagree.
This is what I love about Democrats and liberals, is that we kind of agree on the Kennedy-McCain bill, and then you just, at the end of it, throw over this gobbledygook of toxicity, this criminal data, this database. The government has no ability to effectively monitor and implement these kinds of databases anyway. So the pragmatism in me says, forget about big databases for now. Forget about, and why would you try to come up with a theme that punishes businesses that supply jobs to Americans? You seem to be thwarting your negative energy, however, on businesses that are just trying to make an honest living. And I'm saying, look.
Honest living, they're hiring illegal immigrants who are breaking the law to be here, and they're undercutting labor.
Again, that sounds easy when you just say it in a couple sound bites, but at the end of the day, businesses have a tough enough time these days. They're paying taxes,
Mark,
to support you and I.
How hard is it to go and say, all right, you got a number, like a Social Security number, you got your number, I'm going to run it through the national database. If it's not on the list, I can't hire you. How hard is that?
Well, I mean, using that theme, we should put border guards that allow the guys through in jail for letting them through. I mean, look, it's not the job of businesses to police this nation. Now, I agree with you. Walmart or whomever should not be conspiring to hire illegals to save money.
And you don't think others are doing that?
No.
You don't think that in the California orange fields, they are specifically looking for illegal immigrants because they know they can charge a lesser wage and treat them miserably.
In the California orange fields, what they're doing is looking for labor that will help them achieve their business objectives.
At a substandard wage under substandard conditions.
And tell that to the guy from El Salvador who's sending money home to his family, and they're doing quite well. Thank you very much.
My solution under McCain is to legalize the guy here from El Salvador.
I agree with that.
But to try to break the you've got a glass of milk and it spills, you write the glass and then you clean up the milk, okay?
Okay.
So I want to write the glass. I want to put police
blame
on our borders.
Businesses and put our business owners in jail. And
I want to police the borders, all right? Because I don't think we should have unlimited immigration in this country.
I agree with that. No,
all right.
Not at all.
Okay, so how are we going to stop them from coming in? It seems to me, if you punish businesses for hiring illegals, that's going to dry up the demand for these. I don't want to punish these poor people that are coming across the border risking their lives. But the businesses can afford to hire people at a minimum wage. And I'll tell you why they're hiring the illegals. Because they know they can't complain. You hire an illegal, you treat them substandard, and you know they can't complain.
You are categorizing.
It's a way to break labor laws.
For those that hire illegal immigrants.
But
you are categorizing all businesses as if they're getting over on demand by hiring illegals.
If they don't hire illegals, they shouldn't be punished.
The administrative burden of these databases and criminal sanctions goes on all of them. I agree. You shouldn't let wanton abuses of the illegal immigrants continue. I agree with that. But the resolution, just like certain gun control issues, should not be to overlay this huge bureaucratic nonsense on the entire group.
Now, wait a minute.
I've been a business person all my life.
And when you do a business person, you sign W-9s, you check someone's Social Security number,
right.
You send it into the government. How much harder is it to check an illegal immigrant, he's got a number, and send that into the government as well? How burdensome is that?
Currently the law is if they work for you, you're supposed to check your W-9s and W-2s.
Wouldn't you as a businessman feel better?
Send out W-2s for income.
Wouldn't you as a businessman feel better? Uh-huh. If you knew that if somebody gives you 1234567 is their number, and it checks out with the government, that you're okay. You have no criminal liability. You have a safe harbor. But if it doesn't check out, you know, I'm sorry, I can't hire you.
Wouldn't you like that certainty? One good point there that does agree to my entrepreneurial mind, and that is a certain liability, a certain way to address liability issues. Right now, from what I've done in my own business, I don't usually work with people where there's a question. I hire a management company to manage the properties. But right now we have a certain amount of certainty, if you'll excuse the redundancy, where if you check their W-9, you check the Social Security number, and right now you can check the Social Security number with the Social Security database or private firm to see if it's a real number.
So, Mark, here's my law.
But you can't go much beyond that.
You check, you do a reasonable check, it seems reasonable, no prosecution. You check, and it seems unreasonable, it doesn't go in the database, and you hire them anyway,
prosecute. It's the database thing that's throwing me off. What you just mentioned without the database is currently... It's currently the law, procedure.
But it's not being enforced. It is the law.
Okay, well, you just hit on a very good thing. It's not being enforced.
So why don't they come up with
new ways to overlay this great government database? Let's look at enforcing the current laws we have in the books.
With harsh sanctions.
We want to encourage entrepreneurial activity in this country.
Of course.
Okay, the people that we think are taking jobs from Americans are not taking jobs from Americans. They're providing a needed workforce for services that we're providing in this country. And... I don't want to categorize one group as sort of a monolithic group, but the repatriated funds that go back into El Salvador, I think it's something 30%, 40% of their GDP. So the people that we think are working for substandard wages here are doing quite well. Thank you very much.
Wouldn't they do better if we gave them a minimum wage?
And that's not to say that all people coming in south of the border deserve to be working service jobs. They could be scientists, whatever. So I'm not saying, but in reality... And that's my overall argument in this immigration issue anyway. It doesn't affect Americans negatively like we think.
Oh, sure,
it does.
It's
a positive.
You don't think it keeps wages down? You don't think it hurts unions?
You don't think that
people willing to work for substandard conditions harm poor Americans that are born here who can't get the job, even the starting level, unskilled labor, because they're people who come from very bad countries. In Virginia,
they have a lot with hundreds of mostly
illegals,
south of the border immigrants looking for work,
right.
And it works very effective. So effectively, because those contractors primarily can't find people to work for them. So
they could if they paid more.
The immigrants, well, wouldn't we all love to pay the
but
person
here,
doing a labor $200,000 a year? We can't afford that. It's running a business.
You don't support open borders. You don't support
not at all.
Don't you think that as a country, since there are millions and millions of people worldwide who want to get in the United States.
Absolutely.
We've taken more immigrants than the whole rest of the world put together.
Combined.
And I think that's a good thing. I think it's the strength of our nation, both in terms of diversity, in terms of skills. It's what makes America great. And I agree with that. But do you think that we as a country can say, you know what, since millions want to come to America, and since the people who are unskilled, who are at the lowest part of the labor, they're the ones, I think, hurting the most vulnerable
Americans.
You mean
Americans. The current U.S. citizen?
What I'm saying is choosing among immigrants.
Okay.
I want to choose the skilled ones, and I'll tell you why. I want to choose the doctors or the engineers or the people that have got some skills. We have a right to choose. I also believe in family unification as well. But the point is that when we have all these unskilled laborers coming in from Mexico, you got a kid in Anacostia, Washington, D.C., who does not have a great education, is not doing that well, wants to start at a low-level job, and is being undercut by someone who's come from such a horrible background in Mexico or El Salvador that they're willing to take less than a minimum wage.
You are
it
looking
hurts
down.
American unskilled laborers.
You are
laborers.
Looking down in your analogy on that so-called African-American kid from
not
Southeast.
Not just African-American, a
and
poor
saying,
kid from West Virginia,
and
white
are,
kid.
I agree.
Same difference.
And saying that they don't have the opportunity to benefit by working. And the reality is, look, we have
illegal
we
immigrants
have
hurt their opportunities.
They do not. See, that's the myth. Is saying that illegal immigrants are hurting the poor in this country. They are not. They are providing really additional avenues for income, really. Because what you have here, instead of industries...
including the unskilled labor? You're saying that unskilled laborers coming across our borders from Mexico are providing avenues for unskilled Americans.
They're keeping our agricultural products in California competitive, which keeps those businesses running, and it means
right.
that when
that's
you
right.
get,
it
when
helps
you, when
businesses,
you get to,
I
when
agree.
You, when you get to sell product that people get to buy and get used to and like, that creates opportunity for everybody.
I agree. It helps businesses, and I agree. It makes businesses
why
more money.
Why are you so down on businesses? Because businesses create a lot
all
of things
look,
that we have going on here.
And the way economics works, and you know this as well as I do, that if you have power, you get a better deal, all right? So
absolutely.
If you've got restrictions in labor, if you look at American history and you look at when unions were strong, they were strong at times when immigration was relatively light.
Yep.
That allowed the workers to organize. If you look at 100 years ago in the worst period of labor in American history, you find that's when a lot of immigrants come in. I support a regular stream of immigration, but I don't support having an unregulated number of people coming in whenever they want. What I'm saying is the people who are already here, I agree. We can't kick them out. That's expensive. They've worked hard.
I agree with you.
They played by the rules, most of them. You know, if they're violent, kick them out.
Yeah,
let them stay. Give them amnesty. I agree. But it seems to me that we need a rational policy, and we need to right the glass as we're cleaning up the spilled milk. And a rational policy, it seems to me, is not to have most of our immigrants be unskilled. To say, we're going to prefer the skilled over the unskilled because I'm worried about the unskilled American laborer.
And I think what you're really bringing up is a broader issue, and that is we have sort of a redefining of our economy going on. I keep mentioning the auto worker, and perhaps we're going to more of a service industry, a service environment, where we should be able to export some of our services. And so we may require some sort of retraining of our current skilled, our unskilled workforce to some kind of skilled workforce.
It's always good to retrain.
And I think we can do that by providing incentives for businesses, tax cuts, et cetera. Because believe me, as a business owner, I would much rather have American workers here or workers here close to me than going overseas
absolutely.
And working because I have more control of what I have here.
Absolutely.
So I would argue that if you cut off the borders and if we stop all the so-called unskilled labor from coming in, that provides businesses more of an impetus to go overseas for everything.
Let's hear what our listeners think. James from Reston, welcome to the Inside Scoop. James from Reston, are you there? Tell you what,
sure.
James, we're going to get back to you. We have to take a break. So we're going to get back to you right after the break. Folks, if you want to call in, feel free to do so. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Agree or disagree, this is your forum, too. We'll be right back with your calls right after this.
Sweetheart, smoke outside now. You promised.
Okay, hon.
Sweetheart, smoke outside now. You promised.
kind of man are you?
I'm a father.
Look here, my father was a father, and he smoked his brains out in the house.
Watch as he blows those smoke rings on my little red face.
You probably have asthma.
Asthma? Schmasthma. I'm telling you, nothing's going to happen to your kids.
Don't swear when you're lying. You know very well that thousands of kids get bronchitis, ear infections, and even pneumonia from their parents' cigarette smoke. And didn't you promise your little angels you'd smoke outside?
Those little devils are just so sweet.
Do the right thing.
Please, smoke outside.
Until you can stop, go out for your kids.
Take the pledge. Call 1-800-513-1157.
A rite of passage, a challenge to join the elite. And if you succeed, if you can master your fear, outsmart your enemy, and never yield even to yourself, you will be changed forever. The few, the proud, the Marines. From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop, discussing the issues of the week with you. All you have to do is call in to join us, 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. My guest is Mark Head. He's the president of NVA Multifamily Partners, a self-described conservative commentator. I'm your host, Mark Levine. I used to work for the Democrats. We disagree on a lot of things, but we want to hear from you. And James from Reston is calling in. James, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Thank you, sir. This is the first time I've ever called a talk show.
Wow. Well, we're glad to have you.
I'm looking at the gentleman across from you, and I'm ashamed. I mean, I'm a black male. I've worked in low-skilled labor until I did get up, and now I'm disabled. But he didn't have to deal with this one-on-one, and I'm ashamed. Everything he's saying is the opposite of the way it really is. I don't think he's aware something's wrong with him. And I'm just sorry. I mean, I don't want to be disrespectful, but
James, I want you to hold on. I want you to hold on because I want you to get a chance to respond to what Mark has to say. Mark, he's attacking you pretty strongly.
Yeah, he is. You know, the only thing I could say is I don't know what about my opinion should be shameful. I'm pro-business. I say that I'm conservative. I always talk about when it comes to picking a political party or a politician that you want to vote for, pick the one that gives you and your family the best chance to meet your personal objectives at that particular time. Put a lot of pressure on politicians to hold them accountable. I'm not saying kick immigrants out. I'm not saying
But you're saying don't punish the businesses that hire them.
No, I'm saying that don't set up a bureaucracy that puts more pressure on businesses when we want to incentivize businesses to do the right thing.
Hang on, Mark. Let me get back to James. James, expound for us. What is it that you particularly find offensive about what Mark Head has said?
If he had to go out right now and wasn't wearing a suit and wore regular clothes and went out to one of these areas just the way he is right now, chances are he would not go out on a truck or get employed if a lot of different people there. And that's a fact. That's
you mean because he's black? Is that what you're saying?
Not just that. Of course, he's white or whatever. Just that when groups come of the laborers, the employer hires the groups. They don't even feel comfortable working around you.
So I think what you're saying, James, correct me if I'm wrong, is that the employers prefer the illegal immigrants over the American citizens. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
Okay. Well, you know, I think he's got a point. Well, I think if you look at those, like in Herndon and Reston, when you have those centers, they're almost exclusively illegal immigrants, and employers prefer them. And my view, and I'll give you your view in a second, my view is they prefer the illegal immigrants because they can treat them with substandard wages and conditions.
I understand what the caller is saying is the truth from their perspective. So I have a lot of, I'm hearing the truth from his perspective. And being disabled and fighting a good fight, you know, my props go out to you because it is tough out there, as you described, sir, as being unskilled or what have you. I suspect you've got skills because you can
you can argue your argument quite well, so I understand that. My older people that I talk to, 50s and 60s above, say that in D.C., they used to have corners with mostly black people out there, trucks coming by, because that's what the economy supported at the time. So I don't think that businesses pick people, by and large, because they can take advantage of them. Businesses pick people because they want to make money and operate and implement their business.
But that's why they pick illegal immigrants, because they can take advantage of them.
The tone that you're setting is that businesses are evil and they want to take advantage of
people. The ones who hire illegal immigrants
are doing
it. Which
isn't the majority, is
10%. Well, but we're not talking about the majority. We're not talking about businesses that hire Americans. We're talking about those that hire illegal immigrants. And I'm arguing that they're doing it because it undercuts the wages and they get cheaper wages. And they know that if they treat them in a bad way, they can't complain. Americans can complain.
I am all for getting the bad guys. And one of the issues about making illegal the current group of illegal immigrants legal in some way, shape, or form is so they can have some rights.
Well, good.
So they can pay some taxes.
Well, we agree.
That's right.
But
and
we
so
also need to punish the ones in the future when they're further illegals. We need to punish the business that hired them.
I agree. But
I tell you, I want to give James some rest in the last word. James, go right ahead.
If you're born in this country like I am and you're a vet like I am, and you think it's your birthright to come back here and you would put in the back of the line or look down upon when you approach a crowd of other people that are usually cousins, friends, and they have their own language and everything, you really have to experience the feel of rejection you get after all the other rejection you've got all your life.
James, I really appreciate your call, and I hope you'll call in again sometime. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
Let me ask you this, Mark, because, people people watching TV, if you're on radio, they may not know, but obviously you are black, you are African-American. You're also...
You're kidding.
No, I've heard it true. I may be wrong. If I'm wrong, you let me know. But that's not unusual. What's unusual is that you're a self-proclaimed conservative. Now, the latest polls I've seen show that in a country where about 30% approves of George Bush, 2% of African-Americans approve of George Bush, and the poll I saw was plus or minus 3. So, maybe negative one supports. The margin of error, whether anybody in America, black man in America, still supports the president is within the margin of error. Let me ask you this. Why, and I think the caller partly reflects this in saying, it's shameful of you. Let me ask you this. Why do you think, and maybe the question's offensive because everyone should have their own opinion, but why do you think you as an African-American are different from 98% of those in America?
Well, the reality is I'm not different from 98% of those in America, and I'm not different from you or any other person who's trying to do anything, whether you're, especially as an entrepreneur. All entrepreneurs are about the same. We all want to execute our business plans and provide for ourselves and our families. So that's where I would fault my particular ethnic group for not opening up to look at different sides of the argument. We have the Democrats, we have the Republicans, and I'm saying you can't do any worse than the Republicans because you had Democratic rule for years and years.
Well, I agree you can't do any worse than the Republicans.
No, I'll agree with you on that.
No,
but the point I'm making is that we're dealing with individuals, and I would rather look at you not as an American of European descent, but of Mark Levin.
Fair enough, and you should be treated as an individual, but you have to admit this is not an administration that has particularly looked out for black folk. I mean, whether we're talking about
Dr.
Katrina,
Secretary Rice, Colin Powell,
yeah,
we've
but
got...
I'm not talking about hiring a black person to do a job in foreign in Iraq. I'm talking about helping the ordinary rank-and-file African-American in the United States. What do we see? We see that, for example, in voting laws, they're supporting disenfranchising black people in Mississippi, in Georgia. The Justice
With
Department
redistricting. Yeah, I understand.
That has approved plans that the courts have found have violated the Voting Rights Act. We know that in Ohio, in a very close race with John Kerry, the black areas did not have the number of voting machines per capita as the whites did. Now, I don't think that they're doing it because they're racist. I'll give you that. I think they're doing it because they know blacks vote for Democrats, and they're trying to punish the Democrats. But in a country where blacks were not allowed to vote until the Jim Crow laws were gone and the Civil Rights Act of the 1960s, isn't it shameful that your party is actively trying to prevent black folks from voting?
Well, I'm a conservative, and I almost all the time vote Republican, okay? But that doesn't mean that it's my party. It's my party in the last 10 minutes and for the next half hour, okay? And it will be for a long time, frankly, because I get the most traction for myself and my family with the Republican Party. But that doesn't mean I'm in love with all Republicans.
My point is that Republicans have not done anything special for African Americans.
Neither have Democrats.
Sure they have.
Absolutely not.
There's all kinds of programs to help
programs.
People. Well, right. That's right. Everything's... Listen, Social Security has helped.
Look.
Poor Americans of black and white, Medicare, Medicaid. Tell you what, though. I know we're going to... I want to get into this further. I always like to go to my caller when they're cutting on the line. Let me go to Rick from Fairfax. You can agree or disagree with me or with Marquette or both of us. Go right ahead.
How are you?
I'm good.
I never called in before either, but I think you guys really hit a nerve here.
Okay. Tell us where we're wrong.
And as far as being Democrat, Republican, I used to think I was a fairly conservative Republican, but I think on both parts, I think both parties have failed here. And I think both parties have refused to deal with the problem. Our border situation's a mess. And when you talk about California and about looking at what a great example that is for business and the immigrant worker there, I could tell you I just relocated from Southern California.
And I could tell you
what a mess it is out there.
Let me ask you, Rick, specifically, what is the mess in California as you see it? And what do you think the solution should be, and how the parties haven't addressed it in your view?
I'll give you an example.
Okay.
I have friends that are in healthcare, law enforcement, prison system. Each one of those areas is overwhelmed at this point.
Absolutely.
Our healthcare system in California, hospitals are closing at an alarming rate. Emergency rooms are being closed. All due to what they call in the business non-pays. Over 50% of the patients that go into the hospitals in California do not end up paying.
Okay, what do you think the solution to that problem is, Rick?
We have to, what the president just went and said as far as going after the borders, I think it's too little. I think we should put, first of all, our local law enforcement, their hands are held. The local sheriffs, even San Diego police, they have laws where they can't pursue people running across the border.
So are you saying you support massive deportation of the millions of illegals that are
here? I say if you, whatever the president just mentioned, that is just another word of amnesty. You have people waiting in line right now that have done the right thing. They're applying. They put their name in. They're doing the right thing. These people have to do, if they want to come into this country, let them do like everyone else has done.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you talk about labor, I could give you examples of meat plants, Morton, Hormel. Meat cutters that were making $20 an hour, and I want to talk about business. Now, I'm kind of a conservative and a business guy, but I also could feel for the working man. My father brought up a family as a middle-class working guy.
Rick, I'm sorry. We got to take a break. You can hold on if you want, or if you're done, that's fine. Mark and I both want to address your points. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of good ones made,
good. And
we're going to need the time after the break. We will come back, address your points. Stay on or not, folks. If you want to join in the debate as well, hey, you heard two callers, never called in a talk show before, that could be you too. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back after this.
I think you should wear a tie.
Dad, nobody wears ties to school.
Tie says you're serious, it'll make a good impression. And remember, you're there to study
to learn, and to make something of myself. I got it.
Almost half of all UNCF students are the first in their family to go to college.
They have some great architecture classes.
Dad, I'm not really interested in architecture.
Well, keep your options open. And remember, no girls until your
work is done.
And I'd make sure that I got my lunch.
Dad, you're not going. I am.
I know.
Listen, you better get going. Don't want to be late the first day in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And when you're the first to go, you're going for a lot of people. The United Negro College Fund. A mind is a terrible thing to waste.
Magellan? No. Well, who knows what Magellan did?
Sail around the world.
Right.
Now.
Sometimes, a child who doesn't seem interested is really a child with a speech or hearing problem.
Blackbeard!
Who said Blackbeard? And what did Blackbeard do?
He was a pirate!
Time and again, it's been shown that a young student's ability to read and learn begins with speech and language and hearing skills.
Jamie, are you with us? Who can tell us?
He wanted to go to India.
Many communication disorders can be detected early and corrected, so learning and literacy skills can develop normally. Make sure your child has the speech, language, and hearing abilities to keep up in class. For more information, visit ASHA.org, a public service message from the American Speech, Language, Hearing Association and this station.
A new route to
Asia!
Good!
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We're having a terrific debate today between myself and my guest, Mark Head, and between you callers, and that's great. We want you to keep you calling in. A lot of you also that haven't called in are writing in on the blog. That's okay, too. That's at radioinsidescoop.com, and we'll be reading and addressing your comments. I know some of you like to write in rather than call. We'll be getting to your comments, I promise. But first, I want to deal with the really good issues that Rick from Fairfax raised. It seems to me that, you know, Rick and James, these are people on the front lines. These are people that are trying to get good paying jobs, and they're having trouble. And what I hear Rick saying is that it's because illegal immigrants are coming in and taking jobs for lesser wages than Americans want. Maybe you hear something differently.
Well, no, I hear it, I feel it, and I understand what he's saying, and you can really feel the truth of what he's saying. But I will say that is one of the things I mentioned earlier with regards to this immigration issue is that the border states are being overwhelmed in their social services. And he mentioned some of them. He just came from Southern California. And it's medical. The 50% no pays, that's an economic issue that I don't think affects Americans as much as most people think. But when you combine that with a bunch of illegal immigrants taking unskilled labor jobs, and if you're in that labor pool, it can't be a pleasant situation.
Rick, let me see if you have a last comment, and then we got to get to another caller.
Not really, guys. Like I said, I'm not somebody who's looking for a job. I've been on both sides of the fence. I just look at this situation as someone, I'm not the one that mentioned it, is I think this is a major Trojan horse that's occurring. I think there's a lot of issues with these illegals that are coming in, and I say illegal. I don't say immigrant. They are breaking the law. That's the bottom line. They're breaking the law. For us to enforce any of our laws, it's up to all of us, really, to straighten this out. It's not a Republican thing or a Democrat thing.
Rick, let me just ask you real quick before you go, and I want to get to another caller, but just real quick. Do you think that businesses that hire illegal immigrants should be punished pretty severely for doing it? If they knowingly hire an illegal immigrant, should we punish those businesses?
I think we have to cut the flow. I mean, if you cut the flow to business through hiring illegals, these people are not loyal to the United States. They will not come, or they will go back if they were held from getting work here in the United States.
Rick, I want to thank you very much for calling. I hope you'll call in another time. I think he agrees with me on punishing the business, but where I disagree with Rick is when he says these people aren't loyal. Some may not be, but I think most of them are people struggling just to try to get better living conditions. And I agree, they broke the law, and I think that they need to pay price for breaking the law. That's why even the Kane and McCain bill has fines and so forth. But it seems to me we got 12 million people that are already here. I want to right the glass. I want to keep more from coming in. That's why I support the fines on businesses. But for the ones that are already here, it's simply too expensive. And it's also, I have to admit, I got a bit of a heart. The people have been here. They worked here a long time. For the ones that are here, I say let them stay.
Rick brought up a good point, though. The ones who have followed the rules, have applied appropriately, need to benefit ahead of the ones who have not followed the rules.
Sure.
So that's part of, I think, the nuances of working the particulars out. In addition to that, I think that we have to look at solving the overall problem rather than putting more emphasis on one group, businesses, to solve the problem.
Because what we're trying...
What I find, though, is that none of the solutions in the House or the Senate or the President's address businesses.
Because
they're addressing the immigrants. Of course they
shouldn't address
them. Obviously, they've got to punish the ones that hire the illegal immigrants.
They are being punished now. We have enough laws on the books where if you knowingly... Walmart just got in trouble.
You know what? Enforcements are way down. Mark, if you look at enforcements during the Clinton years and the Bush years, you found... You know what? Last year, 5 businesses were significantly fined for this. I mean, it's way, way down. We need to put people... I think... If you police the businesses, you will find they stop hiring all these illegal immigrants.
Well, I don't agree with you. What you'll have is you'll have sort of a state where we're being harsh on businesses and we're being anti-business.
I'll tell you what, let me go to the blog because
sure.
A lot of people have written in. Folks, if you want it, you're always welcome to call in, 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We're glad to hear from you. Alice from Fairfax, we lost you. You can call back. But you also are welcome to write in on the blog at RadioInsideScoop.com, and a lot of people have made some really good comments. Let me read Lynn's comment, because I found it very interesting. This is from Lynn. She writes, quote, funny how, with regard to the immigration issue, how no one ever mentions the fact that a significant part of the reason why so many of these Latin American immigrants have been suffering, both politically and economically in their home countries, is that the U.S. government has historically propped up oppressive regimes, specifically in El Salvador and Guatemala. The U.S. government has been a major contributor to this problem. I agree with Lynn. Do you?
We're propping up an oppressive regime in El Salvador. El Salvador economically now is doing better than it has in recent memory. They have a democratic society. They have legal elections. They're doing fantastic. Now, they're not the United States. No other country
is. They're doing okay now, but you know as well as I do, in the 70s and 80s, for many years, there were death squads, and
Absolutely.
Our government was supporting the government, these rickety, oppressive governments.
Our government also supported the revamping of their economy and their political regimes. We've been a part of the solution down there. I agree with you. I think when it comes to Iraq and some of these other places, for our foreign strategic interests, we should take a longer-term approach to resolving the issues. I think the bigger problems in the Middle East are more economic, really, than religious, in my opinion. That's part for another show.
I disagree with you, and that is for another show. Let me read some more comments right here on the blog. We have a comment from Mike that says, we should do what Mexico does, stringently deport illegals trying to work in Mexico. The Mexicans have one policy for themselves and push for the 180-degree policy for the United States. Be consistent. I don't know. I don't think we're as harsh as the Mexicans are.
I don't know. People, you know, Mexico is a great country. I don't know anything about how.
Well, no, they're harsher. Mike's right. They're a lot harsher on illegals than we are.
In every category, just about every category, other countries are harsher, have less opportunity.
That's true.
Listen,
I don't want to be like Mexico.
That's half full. That's my half full.
On this, we agree. I do not want our country to be like Mexico.
I agree.
Robert on the blog writes a really long stuff, and Robert, we don't have time to read all that you wrote, but you write a lot of good comments. But one of the things that Robert points out is that the recent Senate amendment to the Kennedy-McCain bill to make English the national language of the United States, and his point, and he makes it throughout his entry right here on the blog, is that this is all symbolic, that English only, gay marriage bans, $100 rebates for gas, that all the Republican Congress is doing is giving us symbols. The English only doesn't change any laws. In fact, there's a specific law that said it shouldn't change any laws. $100 rebates for gas, telling a constitutional amendment to prevent gay people from marrying. This is all politics, symbol politics. None of it really changes Americans' lives. I think he's got a point. Do you agree?
Just about everything that happens on the Hill is symbolic politics.
But some of it's real and affects people's lives. Social Security affects people's lives.
Agreed. And that's why they can't seem to come up with something on either side that makes sense. So we need to try to work on something pragmatic that's going to work for everybody. I agree. What George Bush has done to the Republican Party, you know, he's tried to fight the good fight. But in reality is we're lacking a bit of leadership. I don't know if it's just a rebound from 9/11. We don't know, without 9/11, what we would all be like right now economically or as a country. So we've got to remember, we took a big symbolic and real hit at 9/11, and we are over in Afghanistan now, we're in Iraq. Perhaps we should come back.
That's not answering my question. The question that Robert's asking, as I see it, is why aren't the Republicans addressing real economic issues, whether it's immigration or gas prices or the war in Iraq, instead of addressing, it's even the war in Iraq, instead of bringing... And I didn't support the war, but the generals were arguing you need so many people out there and so forth. It seems to me that it's all about symbols. It's all about mission accomplished, and we're on the ship, and everything's fine.
Well,
they're not dealing with real policies.
Historically, it's like that for whoever's in power. If the Democrats,
Clinton did some real changes in America.
Well, you know how I feel about Bill Clinton. I don't hate him as much as most people. I think he's a brilliant politician, and the Democrats did the best they could to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory and with distancing self from Bill Clinton. Now, I'm not saying I would have voted for him, but you know where
I stand.
But
address Robert's question. Don't you think the government is spending more time on symbolism than actuality? Let me give you an example.
They are showing a bit.
Harry S. Truman complained in 1952... Or maybe it was 1948, about the do-nothing Congress. This was the Republican Congress. They were doing nothing. They were hardly meeting, and they met 110 days. This Congress has met 97 days, less time than the do-nothing Congress. When I worked there, they were working from Wednesday clear to Thursday, and then they go home and raise money all the time. Don't you think they're spending a lot more time on symbols, and they should spend more time on real solutions?
I would agree with you. However, I would say Republicans and Democrats are doing that
right now. Well, Democrats aren't in charge. You can't blame them for what's going on in Congress.
The
Republicans control all the agenda.
You have a right to put out bills and try to get them passed and what have you. So ultimately, the constituents determine what the Republicans are going
to
do.
We only got a few minutes left, and I want to go to one more caller. Rick from Washington, D.C., welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Yes. I want to ask this question. I noticed they're having a big debate in Congress about given the illegals voting rights. And I want to say there's African Americans that have fought in every war there is. They fought in the British, on the British side, the Indian side. But yet every 20 years, they have to have a Voters' Rights Act. Could you address that, please?
It's a good point. And actually, it's interesting that you're calling from Washington, D.C., because the last great plantation is the District of Columbia. Here we have... No, come on. The District of Columbia, you have Americans that are paying taxes and have no right to representation in Congress.
Republican Davis is trying to do something about it.
Yes, he is. And it's a good thing. But a lot of people in his party are fighting him. The Democrats support D.C. voting rights. Republicans, Tom Davis does. But most of them seem to be against it. I assume that you're on the right side of this issue. You support D.C. voting rights.
I support every citizen in this country being represented by a member of the House and
the
Senate. So that's what I support.
Well, absolutely, and it should be that way. But he brings up another point, and that is the Voting Rights Act. I mean, here it is that in Georgia, for example, I know you know this, that they had this recent voter ID card. Everyone's got to get this voter ID card, and they were going to charge everybody $20 to get this voter ID card. The Justice Department approved it, and then the courts pointed out, hello, poll taxes are unconstitutional.
Yep.
Isn't this just an attempt to disenfranchise black people?
No, not at all. It's an attempt
and
to...
poor people, I should say.
No, I don't think so. I think most of this is a response to 9/11. It's sort of a hyper-patriotism issue where we want to give national ID badges and things like that. I'm against all that kind of stuff. I don't want to have all Americans have to get, a fingerprints and ID cards or anything like that. And perhaps immigrants, maybe. I don't know. We'll have to look.
Mark, we're running out of time. Rick from D.C., you got 20 seconds. Make your last point.
Well, my point is this. I don't think that we should have to have a Voters' Rights Act.
Agree.
You find anyone that has fought in many wars for freedom than the African-American, I'd like to see. We fought on the French side. We fought on the English side. We fought on the colonist side. We fought with the Indians. We fought for the Canadians' freedom. And yet we still have to have voters' rights. That doesn't make sense.
Rick, thank you very much for your call. I think you're absolutely right. I think Mark agrees with me. You're absolutely right. I think it's shameful that there are people to this day that are still trying to prevent people from voting.
Yeah,
and that is un-American. And I think we can both agree on that. Mark, you've been a terrific guest. I've really appreciated
you
coming in here. I will have you back again
Absolutely.
To discuss another issue of the day. Thank you, callers, for calling in. You brought up a tremendous number of points. I hope you'll keep listening in to The Inside Scoop. If you want more information on The Inside Scoop, you can find it on my website at radioinsidescoop.com. Or, of course, you can always tune in every Monday right here on Channel 10. Thank you for tuning in. This is Mark Levine signing off.